All right, I'm going to talk for a second. How's that? I'm afraid to move. Oh, okay. We're good now?
We're good.
All right. I think a few people's hair is kind of sticking up now. I know mine is. It's all right. Yeah, it happens. Anyway, so he is risen. Thank you. That's the kind of response I like. Some of you that don't know me, I like feedback. I like interaction. So feel free to shout out all you want. Welcome to the most celebrated day of the year. And yes, it's not Christmas. Christmas is great, but this is Resurrection Day. This makes such a huge impact in the world. It's the one event that has changed human history. 2,000 years ago, an event happened and it changed everything. We even get our calendars from it. We get all kinds of, I mean, it's the Bible here is the number one bestseller. And it's been critiqued and debated for hundreds of years, and yet it's still the number one bestseller. Not because it's false, but because it's true. You know, today we celebrate Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive today, and through his resurrection, we come alive in his power, and it can transform each and every one of us. Now, you may be thinking, Pastor, you don't know me. You don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm going through or what I've been through. You know, marriage, addiction, financial hardships, health issues, whatever it may be. And you're right, I don't know you. Some of you I do, some of you I don't. But I do know that for whatever reason, whatever circumstances, luck, friends invited you, or family invited you, God has led you here for a reason. You're here not on just a random event and circumstances. Something has prompted you to come here today. And I'm glad to see you here. I'm glad to have everybody here. Now, I have some good news for you. Since you're here and since you're listening to this, I have some wonderful news. No matter what you're going through, you don't have the power to transform yourself. Now, you might be looking at yourself, don't, wait a second here. That sounds kind of odd. You don't have the power to transform your life? How in the world could that be good news? Come on, Pastor, that's a little nutty there. That's a little strange. And you may be wondering why I said it that way. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul persecuted Christians. He persecuted Christians he was so zealous of his faith in the Jewish faith, and he was so intelligent. He was like the Harvard grad and the super intelligent elite of his time. And he was so zealous of this, he went around trying to kill and persecute Christians. And Paul knew that when he had this interaction with Jesus, he met him on the road to Damascus, his life changed and his life was transformed. And he knew that his life depended on Jesus. And that's why I say the good news is that we don't have the power to change it, but Jesus does. Look at what Paul said in Philippians, one of my favorite books. Philippians and Ephesians and Galatians are my three favorite books of the Bible. Take a look at this. This is Paul's attitude toward the he's writing to the Philippian church. He loves the Philippian church. It's the one letter that he writes that doesn't have a bunch of condemnation and correction and kind of chastising them. He loves them and he adores them, and they're faithful followers of Christ like him. And he spent 2 years with them. And this is what he writes. He's in prison and he writes this to his loving friends. And he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming more like him in his death. So look at Paul's attitude in all of this. So no matter what your circumstances are, no matter where you're at or whatever past you've had, there is hope in the name Jesus Christ. And there is hope to transform you and change your life. See Paul's desire to know Jesus and the power of resurrection in everyday life. His desire was to have Jesus in his life every day, all the time. He wanted to know him more and more and more. He wanted to just embrace him because he looked and he experienced his relationship with Christ. He met him and he spent time with him and he prayed. And as he grew, he fell in love with Jesus even more. And as he did that, he just wanted more of it. It's almost like, anybody have a sweet tooth around here? Raise your hand. Okay, some of you are lying. Some of you are being honest. Okay. You know, have you ever had, can you just eat one? Like one M&M and be done? No, you want more. And this is not candy. This is Jesus. When you taste Jesus, when you have Jesus in your life, when you experience Jesus, guess what? You desire to want more and more. And then you see blessings that come from that and you want more. It's like that old Lay's potato chip. You can't just eat one. Once you experience Jesus, it's hard to turn away. See, Paul's ability to get through every day was dependent on Jesus and the power of Jesus living through him. Paul wanted the same thing for the church so badly. Listen to how he prayed for his friends in the church of Ephesus. He said, "And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the work of his great might? That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places." Now, I want to go back to the verse right here. And you see the greatness of his power? I want to focus on that word power. A lot of times we think of power as kind of negative. It's like, oh, you just want power. Or we see politicians, oh, you just want power. Power kind of have this negative connotation there. But in this, he's talking about the power of God working in your life. Now, that word, the Greek word in this is dunamis. And dunamis is where we get the word dynamite. So what essentially he's saying is he wants you to have the power of the resurrection in your life is to have dynamite power, huge power. Not from us. It's not like we're going to walk around and be like, I'm more powerful than you. Nancy, I'm more powerful than you. Come on, let's have a power match. It's not about that. It's about as we go through life and we have these difficulties and we're faced with life. One thing I've learned in life is life is not always easy, is it? But how do we get through that? We get through that by the power of the resurrection, when the power of Christ working through us. And as he works through us, then we can go, wow, this isn't so bad. Because God has given me that comfort. That's why we do prayer requests. And that's why my prayer requests are very simple, and they're almost always the same, is God be in their lives. Give them the comfort, give them the power to get through this. And that's basically what I'm praying. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead now gives him the ability and authority to rule over the universe and is available to you and I. That is an amazing gift right there. It's not just that we're saved, because if it was just that as we accept Jesus Christ and we go, hey, you know what? I accept this gift of eternal life and then he's done. No. We accept his gift and we invite him into our lives. And then as he is in our lives, he gives the power to us to get through all the challenges in this world. Paul basically said, I want to know about this resurrection power. I want to know it. Give me a piece of that. It is my goal in life to know Christ and know his power of the resurrection more and more and more. He has this zeal. When people call me a Bible thumper, I say thank you, because that's a compliment. It's a desire. He prayed that we would know that as well. The good news of Easter is that Jesus Christ not only died for our sins and offered you forgiveness today, but that same power that raised him from the dead 2,000 years ago is available to change your life today. I think that's the most amazing gift right there. I mean, yes, eternity is top. If you were at the sunrise service, I shared a little bit about daydreaming about heaven and the chicken wings. That will be there. You know, it's an amazing gift, but you know what? It starts now. When we accept Jesus Christ, that gift starts now. We get blessed now. But the same, that same power that raised him from the dead 2,000 years ago is available to change your life today. So what is that resurrection power? What is resurrection power? It is the power to cancel out your past, present, and future sins. Past, present, and future. 2 years from now, I will probably screw up something and put my foot in my mouth or say something I shouldn't say or think a thought on Oregon drivers that I probably shouldn't think. And when that happens, I have sinned. But you know what? God has forgiven me for those two. So many people talk about or walk through life carrying around this weight and this burden of their past failures, their past mistakes, and their past sins. They carry it around so heavy. And they think, oh, you know, God wouldn't love me, or God doesn't work that way, or look at all this baggage I have in my life, and it's just not going to work. Or they don't have the faith that God can do those transformations in our lives. So many people hold on to this. My day job is working in the mental health field, and I work with people every day that hold on to that baggage all day long, and it has affected their lives in such a sad way. They struggle with this. They hold on to it, and they don't want to let it go. It's part of their identity. But when I say cancel out your past, I'm not talking about denying it or saying it never happened. Canceled means to eliminate, to remove, or to delete. To just be done with it. You are a new creation. Have you ever gone through halfway through a project and wish you could start over? All the time? I see some heads going, yeah, just yesterday. You know, you go through a project and you're thinking, you have this vision in your head and you just, oh, man, I wish I would have done this differently. A lot of people feel that way about life. They go through life and they get a little older and they look back and they think, oh man, I wish I would have done this or done that. I wish I could just start over. I made so many mistakes in life, so many failures, so many problems, so many bad decisions, and they regret it. And I wish I could just hit the delete button, start over. Some people can't seem to let go of their past at all. As a result, they let their past control their present and dictate their future. They hold on to that luggage so much, and they guard it. Instead of letting Jesus come in and start unpacking that stuff, and start unpacking that baggage that you have, and start tearing it apart and saying, you know, you don't need this, you don't need that, let's throw this away. Oh wait, here's something good, let's hold on to that. Sometimes people live in a constant state of regret. They continually second guess themselves because they're tortured by painful memories. But God says that's not necessary. You don't have to walk around with a heavy foot or a heavy load of guilt or old hurts or painful memories. You don't have to be that way. You don't have to carry that luggage. There's freedom in Christ. No matter what you've done, and even Paul, who is a murderer, came to Christ, and he became one of the most prominent figures in early Christian church. He wrote 65% of the New Testament. He's a pivotal figure in the New Testament. And he was a murderer. Has anybody killed? Don't answer this. Has anybody killed anybody? Probably not. But you're still forgiven if you have, if you repent in that. And you might be wondering, how can that be? Preacher, that's just too far gone. It is a free gift. And it sounds, in this day and age where you know, you don't get something for free, or you know, there's always strings attached, or that can't be true. The thing is how can that be? This is what you're saying. You're saying this is a free gift and you can actually have a better life with Christ in your life. It can actually impact you in a positive way. You can let go of all that baggage. No, it doesn't seem right. That seems, you know, there's always a catch. There's got to be a catch in there. How can that be? Take a look at this, Colossians 2. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Do you see that? He canceled the record of charges against us. Think about this in a courtroom setting. Imagine you're in the courtroom and you're standing there. Yes, Your Honor, God's the judge. Yes, Your Honor, I did that. I sinned. And the judge says, God says, you know what? You're guilty. We're going to send you to life in prison. You deserve it. And you're like, I don't want to go, but you deserve it. But then Jesus comes in and says, Your Honor, he is guilty. That's fine, but I would like to take that punishment for you, for him. I want to go do that time. Please set him free. Take it off his record. And that's what Jesus did. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away and nailed it on a cross. Think of sin as an archery term. Think of bows and arrows. Any bow hunters? Probably a few in here. Yeah. So think of bow hunting or bow and arrow. It doesn't mean that you just missed the target. It's not like you're aiming down and you're pulling back and you just miss by a few inches, or like if you shoot like me, a few feet. But you know, it's not just that. It's more like turning around like this and shooting all over the place and not even aiming at the right target. That's what it's like. We completely ignore the true target of pleasing God with our lives. We miss the beat. We miss the target. And we set our sights on the seductive targets that don't save us and don't satisfy us. Whether it's money, career, status, cars, whatever it is that you particularly have a tendency to focus on that make you happy. And they're not satisfying. And what ends up happening, it might make you feel great for a while, but then ultimately you feel empty inside after a little while. I have a dream truck in mind. I love this particular truck. It's a GMC, full size. I have it in my head. And if I ever got that truck, I'm going to be so excited until either I get the bill or it breaks down or something. And then the excitement kind of goes away. See, it's temporary. All these things are so temporary. But here's some more good news, is that God offers complete forgiveness to all of it. He says that he cancels every single record on your account. Even that sin when you're 2 years old and you go push your brother or sister down and steal their toy. Yes, that's a sin. Everything is a sin. Anything that's disconnected us from God. The words that God uses in the Bible to describe how he forgives us are words like this: blotted out, wiped out, washed away, canceled. Those are just some words. This doesn't mean that he doesn't know your sin. He knows your sin. But what it does mean is he didn't come to rub them in. He came to rub them out. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us and save you and I from our sins, to give us a rescue boat. Take a look at this. Now everybody knows John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But so many times we miss the second verse, which is this: for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. What a beautiful message there. Has anybody ever played with an Etch-a-Sketch? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were fun. But what happens? You know, you draw something, you're doing the knobs, and you're trying to do a picture. I had one for a few years, and then I drew a couple pictures, and it was so terrible, I just never played with it again. But what do you do when you have a bad picture? What do you do? That's right. You turn it upside down, you shake it, and it's gone. You flip it upside down. The Bible says that God has the ability because of the sacrifice of Jesus and his death and resurrection to shake it up and wipe it clean. To take all that mess and all that sin and regrets of your life and wipe them clean. Man, that's a beautiful thing. And I'll admit, when I first got saved, I did not follow God real closely. I bounced around in and out. I wasn't real serious about it. And then I got married, and my dad passed away. Long story. And I God pulled on my heart, and I rededicated my life to Him. And that was in 2000. And since then, I've been learning and growing. And I'll tell you, that unpacking that baggage is not always easy. There's a lot of, some of us have like, you know, like a Kardashian luggage, you know, just tons and tons of it. Some of us just have little carry-ons. That's cool. I wish I had carry-ons. But some of it needs to be unpacked, and it takes a while. But you know what? If you're faithful and you just keep going and you keep following God, guess what? Eventually it gets to that, and all you're doing is you got to carry on. You know what that carry-on is right here. This is all you worry about. It's just following Him. See, and it even gets better than that. Take a look at this. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." Said a jar of full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. Then Jesus had received the sour wine and said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, this phrase right here, "it is finished," you know, the original, the Greek is what they call tetelestai. Now, what that word really means is paid in full. So and it was actually a business term, a transactional term. If Byron and I worked out a deal where I was going to buy his truck, my dream truck. No, I was going to buy his truck. And we worked out a deal, and then we shook hands, and back then we would say tetelestai. That's a done deal. It's completed. He can't go back and be like, "Hey, I changed my mind." No, it's done. That it's a finished contract. And that's what's here. This, he stamps it, paid in full, across each one of you that come to Christ. Paid in full. That's why there in Romans 8:1 it says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He canceled our past sins and failures and mistakes. And this act is the power to give you a new identity. When you come to Christ and you get that stamp and all of it's paid for and all of it's done, we get a new identity. See, sometimes people have hidden identities that shapes their lives and their decisions, whether it's an addiction or mental health issues or health issues or they'll self-label themselves. I'm adopted, so therefore this, and then you fill in the blanks, or I'm divorced, or I'm poor, or I'm wealthy. We tend to label ourselves in our culture. Or maybe, you know, they don't feel very smart, and they don't feel very loved, and so they put themselves down, and they make them sound, they identify themselves as worse. Identities are so much about what we do and what we've done in this culture, our success, our failures, or what others have done to us, or what others have done for us. And the resurrection has brought brought with it the power to change all that. Where our identity is no longer what we do or what we have. It's not about our status in the world. Because you know what? I've never seen a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. But I actually found a picture of one time. So I don't want to lie. And I think it was just somebody moving and that's what they owned. But it was still pretty funny. We don't have to be defined by those things any longer. We don't have to be defined on our dysfunctional family or being an alcoholic, and we're in recovery from that. And that's not our identity. Our identity is in Christ. It doesn't matter what our past is. Now, I'm not saying forget it completely, because you can learn things and you can learn about yourself and go, "Hey, you know what? I have a tendency to do this." But you can still give it up to Christ. And your new identity is to be a child of God. See, our past mistakes or all of that is gone when we accept Christ. And again, we still got to unpack that baggage. And when we accept Jesus, take a look at, actually, let me go back a slide. Take a look at John 1:12. It says, "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to be children of God." That's our new identity. I am a child of God. I am a child of the utmost high. I am no longer the son of Tom and Joanne. I am a child of God now. That is my identity. And regardless of what our family believes or don't believe, my identity comes from Christ now. Out of his grace, he adopted us into his family, and I get to call him Father. And that is a beautiful, amazing thing. See, that's your new identity. You are his child, and he's our daddy. I am his, and he is mine. And now you might be thinking, how can that be? Because, you know, he's God. How can that be a father figure? And some people have a difficult history with their fathers. Maybe they weren't there. Maybe they weren't the father that they wished or hoped to have. But guess what? When you have a new identity, you can look at God the Father and learn what a father is. And you can have him as your father. You might be wondering how that can be true. Our identities can now be shaped by God's success over our failures and his ability to give us that new life. When we come to God and we put our faith in Jesus Christ alone as our personal Savior and receive his gift of salvation, our relationship with him changes. It changes. We are referred to as friends of God, blessed, loved, a new creation, saint, disciple. You can let go of any image of yourself that is not from God. And that's a hard thing to do, because over time, as you study the word and you start growing and God starts unpacking those things, it takes some time because you're still stuck in this old thing. And in theological terms, they call that progressive sanctification. When you accept Christ, he looks at you as freed and forgiven. But there's this whole unpacking process until the day we die. And what that is we're growing more like him. And we grow and grow, and we start throwing that junk away. You are defined by God and God alone, and he identifies you as his own. You can stop accepting what other people think. You can stop accepting what other people say, the labels that they might put on you, or maybe how you labeled yourself. You're not defined by your feelings, your opinions, the opinions of others, or you're not defined by circumstances. You're not defined by your success or your failures, or by the car you drive or the house you live in. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, "And he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us." And what this means is that as God works in your life, he has put, the moment that you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you. The moment you accept Christ. And so that means that God, the all-powerful God, is partially in you. He's given you the ability and the strength to get through whatever it is that you're going through. You are defined by God. You are part of his. And he says, hey, I'm going to put the Spirit in you. And that Spirit is going to pray for you. It's going to advocate for you. It's going to help you. It's going to convict you. It's a little guilt. We were talking about guilt earlier. Guilt can be a good thing. I know that's weird because nobody wants to feel guilty. But guilty is like our bumpers, our guide rails. Sometimes if we're going down a path and we're doing something that's not so right and all of a sudden we start feeling guilty, take a step back and go, God, what's going on? Why do I feel guilty? And you get revealed. That's the Holy Spirit doing that in you. That's how we can change. That's how we grow, is through that work, that promise of the Holy Spirit. And the other thing is that promise of the Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption, which means that the moment we get saved and the Holy Spirit comes in you, that you are sealed until the day. You cannot lose your salvation. You cannot give up your salvation. If you genuinely accepted Christ and that Holy Spirit comes in you, that is permanent. Jesus even said that nobody can take one of his people out of his own hand. That includes you. You're not defined by these external circumstances. Here's one of the most powerful truths you'll ever hear about Jesus. The risen Jesus lives inside us by his Holy Spirit. Lives within us. We're not only saved by him, by his death, we're also saved by his life. That means the risen Jesus lives inside us and guides us through these things. And it gives us the power to fill us in the with the strength to face the challenges of everyday life. And that's what Paul was talking about when he said, you know, I long to know more Jesus more and more. I need Jesus in my life. I need that work of the Holy Spirit because, and if you think about Paul, he was going around being persecuted and being run out at certain places. I mean, he was on the mission field in a very hostile environment. And he needed that. Well, guess what? Our culture today in America, I love this country, absolutely love this country, but there's a lot of things going on that is anti-Christian, and we need the Holy Spirit to guide us through these things. We need the Holy Spirit to give us that strength. This means that no matter what you face each day, the strength of the risen Savior will be working within you, regardless of what happens to you, whatever difficulties you face, whatever curveballs that life throws at you. You have the power to stand in there and face it. Take a look at Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up to me. The possibilities are endless of what God can do in your life. One thing I've learned in my short years of being alive is that life can be challenging. I know, great wisdom. I know, that's totally new. You're shocked. Life is tough. I mean, there's some great times and there's some hard times. There's some times you cry. There's some times you stand up and you're like so excited. Birth of a new child. I was at all five births of my kids, and I teared up every single time, crying that my life was over now. seeing if you were paying attention. No, I and this newborn child, it was so emotional. It was wonderful. But then there's changing diapers, being up at 2 a.m. Not so wonderful. There's ups and downs in life. One minute you're sailing along and everything's fine, and next you're sailing into a crisis. By the power of a risen Christ in our lives, sustaining us through his Holy Spirit and sometimes carrying us with his grace and his power. You know, if we go through life without God, we can do all right. I have friends that are atheists, and they're actually very wonderful people. Very kind. I work with some of them. But it's so different when you have a relationship with Christ, because you can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. When you, as you grow in your relationship with Christ and as you go through difficult times and whatever it is that you face, as you build this relationship with him, you can go through it and go, you know what? Oh, this is terrible. I don't like this. And then you start praying, and you start giving it to God, and you say, God, help me through this, and all of a sudden peace will come in your life. I could testify that all day long, give you examples, but I won't. Take a look at Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit within you. One of the greatest promises as we have the Holy Spirit within us is growing and all that, but also as we grow, he is giving us that opportunity to go to heaven. Nothing, not trouble, nor hardships, nor danger, will be able to separate us from the greatest gift of all, separate us from the love of Christ. Take a look at this, Romans 8. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. That alone is an amazing verse. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither fears for today nor worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. That makes me get teary-eyed. That's how awesome that verse is. When you struggle with things in your past and you feel maybe sometimes unloved or unworthy or broken and all these things, you can look at this verse and go, you know what? God loves me. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Jesus Christ offers forgiveness. He promises to cancel our sins, wipe it off our record. He offers you a chance to start over. And you can't do it alone. You can't do that on your own strength. You don't have the power to do that. Resurrection means that there's no situation too hopeless. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's nothing too big for him. There's still resurrection business to be done until the day of the rapture or the day we go to heaven. There's still work to be done. And God gives us the power to do that. And we must depend on God to be able to get through this life. Continue on with Romans. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we finish up this message today, I encourage you, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ in your life, if you've kind of toyed around with it, or yeah, I'm a Christian, but not really take it serious, you know, you don't know what the future holds. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what this afternoon holds. But I can tell you that accepting Jesus Christ will change your life. It changed my life from being a no good punk and getting myself in trouble on drugs, alcohol, and everything else you can think of, to coming in, being a loving husband and a loving father, and honest and integrity and peace in my life. And if it could do that to me, it can do that to you. Because I bet if we compare stories, we'd either be the same by the sin that we've committed. All of us have sinned. All of us have had dark times. And if you accept Jesus Christ, your life will change. I've seen it go through a friend of mine who was in prison for murder for 15 years in California. Actually, it was around the year I came to Christ. He dedicated his life to Christ. Now he works at a Bible college out in California. God changes lives. And if you haven't accepted Christ, I pray that you do. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for all the blessings you bring to us. Thank you so much for the resurrection of Jesus Christ as we celebrate that today. As we celebrate the resurrection of you, thank you. And we ask you to be in our hearts and be in our minds. And we know the Holy Spirit's in us. And we know that you love us. We know nothing can separate us from that love. And so, Father God, if there's anybody here that has not accepted you or have a relationship with you, Father God, I pray that you will reveal yourself to them. And Father God, continue to work in our lives and start unpacking that baggage that we have. And some of us have carried it on for many, many years. Even if as a Christian, as we've accepted Christ, we never went to you with this baggage and asked you to start unpacking it. So I ask you to start doing that and start revealing yourself to us in that way. Show us that we are a new creation. Father God, thank you so much for this time together. We just lift you up in praise and worship and love. And we're grateful to be able to come to this church together and just honor you. Father God, I ask you to bless each and every person in this church right now. Watch over them. Guide them. Just be in their lives. Give them the comfort that they need, whatever it is. You know every hair on their head. You know everything about them. And whatever it is, Lord, just be in their lives. I pray that you restore any needs that they have, whether it's health or mental health or whatever it is. Just restore them, heal them, help them. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we